All right, Kavosai, good morning. It is an incredible school, Baruch Hashem, to learn with all of you. I'm sorry that I'm not able to be there in person, but if you can't be there in person, at least in Meretz Hashem, we could utilize the gift of technology to be able to learn together. So, Kavosai, today's daf is daf Vav. Page 6, we are picking up on Hey Omid Beis Elaha, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, about 20 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says as follows. We'll say, so remember, we're actually now in a very interesting sugya about whether or not someone who is chashid al gezel, let's say someone is suspected for engaging in illegal activity, does that automatically invalidate their ability to swear? In other words, do we say essentially that once you're a suspect of negative behavior in one area of halacha, that by definition, that ruins your ability to go out and take a shvuah? So the Gemara says, Elohad d'tani Rabbi Bar Chama. But that which Rabbi Bar Chama said, yesterday's that Rabbi Bar Chama said that for any of the four shomer, right, the shomer sachar, a shomer chinam, a shoel and a socher, paid custodian, unpaid custodian, a borrower and a renter. So the halacha is in order for them to swear regarding the claims. In other words, the case over here is a person deposited an item with one of these four individuals, comes back to claim it back, and they deny it. In order to trigger a shivua, Rabbi Bar Chama says there has to be a partial admission, partial denial, partial admission. So the Gemara says shomer chinam. I'm sorry. So Arbaush tzvi kafir mixas v'adam mixas. Shomer chinam v'ashal nosei sachar v'asocher. Name amigo the chashid amamone chashid ashvua. So the Gemara says, why don't we say that obviously, since these individuals are suspect for engaging in illegal financial activity, right? V'haraya, what's the proof to that? The proof to that is the owner of the object is saying, I deposited my object with you, right? Give it back. And these individuals are saying, you know, we don't have it, or you never gave it to us. So obviously something is up over here. So why don't we say that since they're suspect to be engaging in illegal financial activity, maybe they're suspect that they're going to swear falsely as well? To which the Gemara says, Hasamnami ishtamute kamishtamit. The Rabbi say also, they could go ahead and kind of create a, what's the word, an excuse for themselves. They could create an excuse for lying. What's the excuse? They're not really lying. Rather, they're trying to buy themselves time. How so? So the Gemara says, so let's say, for example, the item was stolen. So the shomer figures, you know what? I'm just going to say that I don't have it. I'm going to go ahead and play detective. I'll find the thief and reclaim the stolen property like that. Inami. Or if it was an animal, for example, that was lost, I'll find another lost animal in the hefker, right, in the swamp, and I'll bring it back. So interestingly enough, I'll say interestingly enough, even if someone swears, so this almost becomes like reminiscent of Mod de Bemixas. The whole reason why Mod de Bemixas, we don't say that Chashid Amamon is Chashid Ashvua, if you're suspect regarding illegal financial activity, then maybe you're suspect regarding swearing falsely as well. The reason we don't say that, remember, is because a person has a svara, a person has an excuse, a person has a logic. I'm buying myself time. The Gemara suggests maybe that same logic applies over here. He doesn't mean to lie. He doesn't mean to deny the claim. He's ultimately going to pay back that which he owes. He just needs a little bit of time in order to be able to make that happen. Ihaki, if that's the case, kofer bebikadon amai pasaleitz neima. So why don't we say the same thing? Remember yesterday's daf we saw that if someone denies a pikadon, right? Let's say, for example, Reuven deposited something with Shimon to watch. He comes to claim it back from Shimon, and Shimon says, I don't have it. So now again, one might have thought, so again, the halacha is, excuse me, that such a person is pasul la'edus. He's not fit to give testimony, but why? Why don't we say the same thing? Really, he knows that he owes it, but he's buying himself some time. Right? He doesn't have it right now, so he's buying himself some time to be able to find it and give it back. To which the Gemara says, when do we say that if a person denies the existence of the pikadon, that he is unfit to give testimony? When is that? So Gemara says, the cases where witnesses come along and say, Shimon, who's denying that he has the pikadon is in his house. The pikadon is in his house. And he knows about it. V'inami, d'havinaket lebiadei. Our witnesses testify that he has the pikadon in his hand. In other words, what the Gemara is suggesting is, it could be that even when a person denies a pikadon, maybe that wouldn't automatically make him pasul la'edus, unfit for testimony, because maybe we could say he's lying in order to buy himself time. So what's the case of denial of pikadon that does make you pasul le'edus? And the answer is, when witnesses come along and say he has the pikadon in his house, he has the pikadon in his hand. So in that case, the only reason he'd be lying is in order to keep the pikadon for himself, not in order to buy himself time in order to return it. Incredible. So the Gemara goes back to Allahadam Rav Huna, Mashpin Asamase. So remember, we're still the same sugya. Essentially, what the Gemara is grappling with over here is, once you're suspect to having engaged in illegal financial activity, does that automatically render you unfit to take an oath or not? So that's the overarching dispute or discussion that we're in. As it says, Gemara, Allahadam Rav Huna, Mashpin also shua she'ina b'rishuso. So Gemara is like this. So Rav Huna, if you take a look at Rashi, this is three lines up from the bottom in Rashi. Dam Rav Huna, l'kalam b'hamafkid gabi shilim v'la ratza lishava, amar Rav Huna im ba'le shalim, mashbiyin also shua she'ina b'rishuso, chayshinan shema inav nasan ba. So listen to this case. Reuven deposits an object with Shimon. He comes back to reclaim it from Shimon, and Shimon says, I don't have it. So Reuven says, swear. Shimon says, you know what, I don't want to swear, I'm just going to pay you. So Rav Huna says something very interesting. Rav Huna says, we make Shimon take an oath. Right? Why? We're concerned that what happened, Shimon really likes the pikadon. He wants to keep it for himself. So he figured, I'm going to pay him for it. What's the big deal? I'm just going to pay him for it. So Rav Huna says, we make him take a shavua to make sure that he's not hiding the pikadon. I said, the Gemara says, why don't we say, again, if Shimon is suspect regarding misappropriation of the pikadon, maybe he should be suspect regarding the shvua as well. So the Gemara says, So this is very interesting. When Shimon lies about having the pikadon, how does he justify, that was what I was looking for, how does he justify his lies? Listen, Reuven's not going to be out anything. I'm willing to pay him. I want to keep the object. So that's why, again, I'm being more heter. I'm making a justification. I'm making an excuse for myself. I'm not really stealing. I'm going to pay him anyway. So therefore, again, I'm going to say, so therefore, that's the logic where even if he goes ahead and he says, I'm not swearing. I'm just going to pay. Why don't we say that since he's chashud on mamon, he's chashud on shavua? Because I'm going to say, again, here his intention also is not to steal. Here he thinks to himself, since I'm going to pay Reuven money, shalom aisol, everything is good. I'm going to vachem edifli ravino, vahaka over alav delo sachmot. It was fascinating. So fine. So let's say in that case over there, maybe Shimon, could justify to himself that he's not stealing from Reuven because he's willing to pay for the object. But he is still in violation of the 10th commandment of not to covet. Right? Lo sachmot, he's in violation of that. And I will say, and Rashi points out over here, once he's in violation of an Avera, it doesn't matter what Avera it is, violation of an Avera should make him puzzle, should make him unfit to take a shvua. To which the Gemara says, Lo sachmo le'in shibolo dami mashmit lehu. Because Shimon in this case doesn't even think he's in violation of Lo sachmod. Why? Because people think that Lo sachmod is only when you covet something but you're not willing to pay for it. But Shimon justifies to himself, look, I'm willing to pay for the object, and therefore, again, there's no theft and there's no Lo sachmod. So because he has a whole justification for it, therefore, halacha l'maisa, this would not render him unfit to give edus. Incredible. Top of Vav Amud Aleph 6a. Ve'la adam Rav Nachman, mashbin also shvuas hasis. So we'll say, so remember again, we saw Rav Nachman in yesterday's daf, that even if a person is kofar bakol, even if, right, Reuven comes over to Shimon, you made $1,000, and Shimon says, I owe you nothing. So on a biblical level, the halacha is, Shimon doesn't have to swear because it's kofar bakol. He denies the entire obligation. We said midrabanan is what's called the shvuas hesis. Shvuas hesis is a rabbinic shvuah to encourage people to admit if they're lying. The Gemara says, Neima migo de chashram wana chashra shvuah. So, but still, how could we allow Shimon to swear? After all, why don't we say that since he's suspect regarding illegal financial activity, then maybe he's suspect regarding this swearing falsely as well? Vasu, furthermore, had itan rebichia, shneim nishma v'not v'me v'balabayis. We'll say this case we had, I believe, on Shabbos. Chen vini al pinkaso, right? Reuven goes over to the shopkeeper, says to the shopkeeper, Shimon, my employee, I have to pay him. I want to pay him in goods. So give him $1,000 of goods. What happens? So shopkeeper claims that he went ahead and he paid it. Shimon, the employee, claims that he never received anything. Both shopkeeper and Shimon swear that paid, didn't receive, and they both collect from Reuven. I says the Gemara, Name amigo de chashlam amamona chashla shvuasa. Same thing. Why don't we say, listen, obviously there's suspicion over here that shopkeeper and or Shimon are lying. So why don't we say that the same way that they're chashed to lie, maybe ultimately they're chashed to take a shvuah as well. They shouldn't take a shvuah. So the Gemara says, Vesu, Gemara is just piling all this on. Vesu, furthermore, Hadam Rav Sheish says, Shalosh shvuos mashbien also. Suppose this is an interesting case. This is a case of, Rashi points out, of a Shomer Chinom. If Reuben entrusted Shimon with an object to watch it, and Shimon is an unpaid custodian, Shimon now claims that the object was stolen. Now, technically speaking, if an object is stolen, a Shomer Chinom is potter. So we'll say there are three oaths that we administer to the Shomer Chinom before absolving him of responsibility. What are they? Number one, Shavua Shalo Pashati. He swears that I was not negligent. Shalo Pashati Ba. Shavua Shalo Shalachti Ba Yad. He swears that he did not misappropriate it for his own use. And Shavua Shein Abishusi. And he swears that the object is not in my domain. I Nemo Amigo De Chachna Ma Wana Chachashua. Suppose it's the same question. Why don't we say over here also, obviously, there's something amiss, right? There's something amiss. We're concerned that maybe the Shomer stole. So why don't we say that since the Shomer is suspect of financial misappropriation, then he should not be able to take a Shavua as well. To which the Gemara says, Ella, lo aminan migo de chashna mamona, chashada shavuasa. So we'll say, the Gemara says, all of this leads to one conclusion, which is that we do not say that just because someone is suspect of financial mispropriety, right? The right word, right? Financial inappropriateness, right? Financial misconduct, that doesn't automatically mean that they are unable to swear. In other words, I will say, what we do is we bifurcate, we divide it up. And this is incredibly, we've spoken on this concept many times before, that essentially what the halacha is saying is like this: just because a person acts inappropriately in one area, doesn't mean they're going to act inappropriately in all areas. So it could very well be that a person is under a cloud of suspicion of financial misappropriation. But that does not automatically mean that we are concerned that he is the kind of person who is going to lie under oath, that he's going to take a false shvua. We divide those two things. And I will say, of course, we've spoken on this before in a profound Musar Haskil. This is very good news for us because most of us, our lives fit into this very construct. Meaning, there are certain things that I do that I should not do, and certain avirus that I commit that I should not commit. But the avirus that I do commit does not invalidate my cheskas kashrus, my proper standing in other areas of life and other areas of halacha. So while it's true that I am imperfect and broken in certain areas, what I want more than anything is for that broken kite not to eclipse all of the other parts of my life. And that's essentially what the Gemara is saying over here. We could bifurcate, we could segment, we could kind of put things in different buckets. There are areas in which I am broken and deficient, but that broken kite and that deficiency does not go ahead and eclipse all of the other positive things that I'm doing in life. Incredible. Abaye Amar, Chayshin and Shalma Milva Yishana Yeshla Alav. All right, suppose I... So now we're going back for a second. Abaye is going back to the Mishnah. Abaye is going back to the Mishnah. Take a look at Rashi just a moment. Abaye Omar. Time of the Masnisin, Lav Kid Rabbi Yochanan. So I will say, so remember again, Rabbi Yochanan wanted to say that the reason of the Mishnah was that we don't want every single person grabbing onto the property of someone else and claiming it's theirs. Therefore, the Shavua comes along and kind of acts as a mechanism to discern who's telling the truth, who's not telling the truth. Abaye has a different approach. Abaye says we need the shua for another reason. We're supposed to watch this. Let's say for argument's sake, Reuven lent Shimon $1,000. Shimon forgot all about the debt, and Reuven doesn't have edos, and Reuven doesn't have a shtar. So now what happens? Reuven sees that Shimon has a very expensive cloak. So Reuven figures, I'm going to grab onto that cloak, claim that it's half mine. Now, Reuven's lying. The cloak is not half his, but Reuven figures, if I could recapture 50% of that cloak, that'll pay me back for the old loan that Shimon owes me. And I will say, and again, Reuven could justify this oath. Why? Because the truth is, he really does own 50% of the value of this cloak. Again, nothing to do with the cloak, but having to do with the old debt. So that's Abaye Amar Chayshin, and that's why, you know, so that's why you have the Shavua. So the oath is there because the hope is that as much as Reuven could justify grabbing onto the cloak, it's going to be much harder for him to justify swearing about actual ownership in the cloak itself. So Abaye Amar Chayshin and Shema Milva Yishana Yishlo Alav. Iachi Nishka below Shavua. Aye, if that's the case, then maybe Reuven should be able to take his 50% even without a Shavua. Ela Chashinon Shema Safek Milva Yeshana Yeshlo Alav. So rather, what we're concerned over here is as follows. We're concerned that maybe there's a suffix. In other words, maybe there's the possibility that Reuven had an old debt against Shimon, and that's what's driving him to go ahead and hold on to 50% of the cloak and claim that it's 50% his. And therefore, the point of the Shvua is, as much as Reuven could justify seizing Shimon's property, claiming it as his own in satisfaction of the old debt, Reuven's not going to swear to that. He's not going to swear that he owns 50% of the cloak, because that would be untrue. So the Gemara said, "V'lav aminan tafis mamona misafek mishtabenai misafek." Then I will say, does that mean, do we not say that if a person seizes money out of doubt, that will make him swear out of doubt as well? Misafek. And Rav Sheshes Brei Rav Idi parshi inshi misafek shvua v'lo parshi inshi v'lo parshi misafek mamona. This is incredible. A person in general will distance themselves from a suffix shvua. Let me say it differently. A person will not distance themselves from a suffix moment. In other words, we'll say, if let's say Reuven's not sure, let's say Reuven thinks that Shimon owes him money, but he's not 100% sure. So even if he's not sure, he'll still grab the cloak in order to claim 50% of the cloak in satisfaction of the possibility that there was an old debt. But a person won't swear unless they're 100% sure about the claim. Why the distinction? My time, it's very simple. Mamon ise bechazara, shvua lase bechazara. A very simple distinction. If it turns out that Reuven remembers different things, you know what? Shimon didn't owe me money, or Shimon paid me back the money. What's the good news? What could Reuven do? Give Shimon back the money. Shalom al Yisrael. But if Reuven takes a shvua, if Reuven takes an oath, and again, then it turns out that, you know what, Shimon didn't owe me the money, there's no, so to speak, no backseas on that, right? That is an irrevocable, irreversible process. So therefore, a person would be willing to seize money out of doubt. Maybe Shimon owes me for a past loan. I remember something I can't remember clearly, because if I'm wrong, I could give it back, but he wouldn't take a shvua. Incredible. So I just want to point out what just happened over here. So essentially, here's what we have. We know the case of the Mishnah, right? Shnayim Oksim Metalis, Ze Omer Ani Mitzasiyah V'Kula Shali, Ze Omer Ani Mitzasiyah V'Kula Shali. That's the case of the Mishnah. So what is the halacha? The halacha is they both swear, as we saw in yesterday's daf, they both swear that they have no less than a half, right? I have ownership interest, and my ownership is no less than 50%. Why do we have, and then they split it. Why do we have the Shavua? So two possibilities. Rabbi Yochanan, who wanted to say that halacha lemaisa, Rabbi Yochanan wanted to say that this shvua is there in order that people don't just grab the property of their friend, of their fellow, and claim that it's their own. Abaye introduced us to another possibility, that maybe it's because we're concerned that maybe Reuven has an old debt against Shimon, or the possibility of an old debt against Shimon, and he's grabbing onto this property in order to go ahead and pay back that old debt. Misafek, he doesn't remember all the details clearly. Once there's a shvua, that will prevent him ultimately from engaging in this process. Incredible. By Rabbi Zira, we'll say another interesting case. Takfa echa befaneinu mahu. So we'll say, now watch this. So let's say, same case in Mishnah. Reuven and Shimon are holding on to the cloak. Now, we'll have to explain the case over here, but literally Rabbi Zira asks as follows. Let's say Reuven, so they're in Beis Din, right? Reuven and Shimon are holding on to the cloak, and they're in Beis Din. In Beis Din, Reuven grabs it from Shimon. Okay, so what's halacha? Mao, hechidami. So what's the case? Idisha seik adui odile. So if Reuven grabs it from Shimon and Shimon doesn't say anything, that's pretty much an admission that Shimon is saying that Reuven is the owner and I am not. Vidikatzavach mahavel mavet. And if Shimon cries out, say, "Hey, you just took my cloak." Okay, so then he cried out. In other words, then obviously Beis Din has to adjudicate the case. Why does it matter that Reuven pulled it out from Shimon? Well, tzicha, listen to this. The shasik meikarav ahadert tzavach. We'll say, what's the case? Reuven and Shimon walk into Beis Din. They're both holding the cloak. Reuven grabbed it out of Shimon's hands. At first, Shimon is silent, and then afterwards, Shimon cries out. To which the Gemara says, "So how do we understand this? Mai, midi ishtik oduye odle." Do we say that since Shimon was quiet initially, he essentially admitted that Reuven is the owner of the cloak? Odilma kaven the katzava hashta igvay milsa. Or maybe not. Maybe since Shimon ultimately does cry out afterwards, and the reason he was silent initially was why? All of this is happening in front of Bezin. It's happening in front of the Dayanim. So Shimon says, I don't have to say anything. The Dayanim, the judges, see exactly what's going on over here, and they're effectively going to advocate on my behalf. It's only afterwards that he realized, oh, what's going on over here? And then he cries out. So we will say, so which one is this? Do we look at his initial silence as simply the fact that Shimon essentially is Moda, admits that Reuben is the owner of the cloak? Or no, his initial silence is just because he felt he didn't have to lodge, he didn't have to cry out. This is happening in front of Beis Din. Beis Din will take care of it. So that's the Shaila. Nachman says, Tashma. The Medram, when is this so? When is what? So when is the halacha in the Mishnah that Cholkin v'Shvua b'Shishneim Adukin ba? That's when both Reuben and Shimon are holding onto the cloak. Aval Haisa Talis Yotzeis Mitachas Yado Shal Echad She'achem Ehen. They both say if the talis. Let's say they walk into Beis and Reuben's holding the talis, and Shimon says, "Wait, 50% of that is mine." Then what's the halacha? Hamotzi Mechabero Alav Haraya. That's not our Mishnah. So again, comes along Rav Nachman says, our Mishnah is dafko, and both Reuben and Shimon are actually holding on to the talis. But if Reuben walks in with the talis, and Shimon says, hey, 50% of that is mine, we say, get out of here. Hamotzi mechaber, maybe not literally, but hamotzi mechaber, Allah haraya. Right? In other words, Shimon, you want to extract property from Reuben, you could do so, but the burden of proof is upon you. To which the Gemara says, again, hey, dummy, what's the case? So we'll say, if it's just as the case is written, so pshita, obviously, again, if Reuven's walking in with the talus under his arm, Shimon doesn't have anything, and Shimon's claiming that it is his, then of course Shimon doesn't have a legitimate claim. So what's going on over here? Ella, shetokfa echad bifaninu. Rather, it must be the case is what? It must be that the case is where Reuven and Shimon were both holding it, and Reuven, or I should say, Reuven pulled it out of Shimon's hands. To which the Gemara says, law, it's not the case. Hachamai askinon, kigon ba'asu l'kamon, kidetfisu l'tarvayu. Also listen to this. The case is where Reuven and Shimon come into Beis Din both holding on to the cloak. And what happens? We va'amrin alahu, zilu plugu. So Beis Din tells Reuven and Shimon, okay, split the cloak. V'nafku, they leave, they go out, and they come back in. V'hadr asu, they come back in. Kitafis lechad menayu. And when they come back in, only Reuven is holding the cloak. So what happened? Hi, Amr Adui Odili. So Reuven says, the reason I'm the one who's holding the cloak is because when we left Beis Din, Shimon admitted that I was the true owner, and that's why I'm holding it. The Hi, Amr Bidami Egarti Nehile. So we'll say, and Shimon says, no, he's not the owner, but rather I rented my half to him. That's why he's holding the whole talus. To which the Gemara says, in this case, Damrin Ale, Ad Hashta Chashara Tele Begazlon. We say to Shimon, sorry buddy, we don't believe you. Just a few minutes ago, you were in Beis Din claiming that Reuven was stealing your cloak, that it was all yours. Now suddenly you leave Beis Din and you're renting him your portion, and there's no documentation and there's no testimony. That doesn't make any sense. Rather, the only we could conclude is that when they left Beis Din, Shimon admitted to Reuven that Reuven is the true owner, and that is why Reuven is the one who's holding it, and Shimon has nothing. Incredible. Viva, you said the other possibility is, Kediktani, the Asula Kamon, Kitafas Lechad Minayu. Oh, sorry, maybe the other possibility is like this. Maybe, Reuven and Shimon walk into Beis Din, and Reuven's holding the cloak, and Shimon is not. So the Gemara said, V'idach, Misrach Ba Seruchi. And what happens? So we'll say, so literally again, Shimon is kind of like grabbing onto the edges. Misrach leisruche. So the Gemara says, what is this? Vafilu sumchas ramano mutu v'savik cholkim lo shvua. We'll say first the white lines on the bottom. And even according to sumchas, who normally says that whenever you have a doubt in a monetary claim, we just split it without a shvua. So the Gemara says, mode sumchas desircha lav klumhu. Sumchas holds, that when you have one party holding onto the cloak, and the other party kind of grabbing at the edges, no, that's not an equal claim. And ultimately, again, the cloak will rest with Reuven, and if Shimon wants to extract a portion, Hamotzi Mechaveiro Alav Haraya. Incredible. Tomorrow goes weiter. Then Tim Tzolomer Tokfa Echa Befanino Motzin Oso Miyado. Miyado Hekdisho Eino Mikudesha. So we'll say, listen to this. So now, remember, let's take a step back. So now, essentially, the case that the Gemara was trying to clarify was the following scenario. Reuven and Shimon are standing in Beis Din, right? They're both holding the cloak. Reuven goes ahead and pulls it back from Shimon. So they both say, based on what we saw before, that halacha maisa in that kind of case, so Beis Din would still adjudicate the case. So the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says, if you say, right, let's say you go to the approach, that let's say when Reuven pulls it out of Shimon's hands, Mosir oso miyado. That we would not let Reuven, generally we don't say, okay, Reuven, we just saw what you did. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, we're still going to adjudicate the case as if it's Reuven and Shimon holding the cloak together. In other words, the fact that Reuven grabbed it out of Shimon's hands doesn't in any way bolster Reuven's claim. This is still a case of Shnayim Oksim Batalis. If we say that, then watch this. Hikdisha ena nekudeshas. Shabbos says, so let's say again, after Reuven were to grab it from Shimon, if Shimon were to be makdish it, right? Shimon were to consecrate. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Shimon were to consecrate without holding on to it. Ultimately, again, there's no hekdish. Why? Look at Rashi. So watch this idea. If halacha lemaisa, we say that if you go ahead and you grab it from someone, you're not the sole owner of it. So that would bepashtos mean that halacha lemaisa, even if one of the parties were to be makdishit, let's say the one who wasn't holding it were to be makdishit, the hekdish would not work. So the Gemara says furthermore, intim salomar takfa echa befaneinu in motzino samiyado. But if you say that when one of the parties grabs it from the other, we do not extract it from the grabber. We don't extract it from the grabber. Then hekdisha below takfa mahu. What happens if the party ultimately again who doesn't have control over it is makdishit? Kevan damer mar amirasa legava ki misirasa lehedyodami. So we'll say, since in generally we say that verbal commitment to hekdish is the equivalent of giving something over in a non-hekdish transaction. Therefore again, kiman de takfa damer. That therefore again, even the one who is not holding it is as if he is holding it. O dilma, hashta miha lo takfa. Or maybe not. Maybe at the end of the day, since Shimon is not holding it, if he's not holding it, he doesn't have the ability to be makdish it. So we'll say, it's a very, very interesting halacha over here, right? So in other words, so halacha lemaisa, the Gemara saying is like this. If you go with the approach that when Reuven grabs it out of Shimon's hands, let's say again, right? So in motzino somiyado, we're not going to go ahead and take it from Reuven. Okay, so let's say, fine. So we'll say, there's a Rashi. Okay, if we know what we'll leave it for now. So we'll say, halacha lemaisa, we say that if Reuven were to grab it from Shimon, we'd not extract it from Reuven. So now the shaila is, if Shimon were to be makdish, he says, you know what? I still protest. I own 50% of this and I'm makdish it. So we'll say, would that hekdish work or not? So what's the havamina to say that it would? Well, to say that it wouldn't, he doesn't have possession of it. To say that it would is the concept of amiraso ligavoa kimisiraso lehedyot. In general, verbal commitment to hekdish is the equivalent of physically giving something over in a regular mundane circumstance. So maybe verbal commitment to hekdish on the part of Shimon, even though he's not physically holding the object, is enough to make it hekdish. So the Gemara says, Odioma, Hashtim Yahol Sakfa. On the other hand, Shimon's not in possession of it. And since he's not in possession of it, Uksiv, Ve'ish ki yakdish as beso kodesh. The Pasuk says if a person will consecrate his home, Ma beso bishuso, just like your home is in your rishus, af kol bishuso. So too, what can you be makdish? You can only be makdish something that is in your rishus. La fuki hai, dilo bishuso. That would come to exclude this cloak, which at this point is not in Shimon's Rishos because Reuven grabbed the whole thing. So that's the Shaila. If you hold that when Reuven grabs it out of Shimon's hands, the Beis Din is not going to remove it from Reuven. Let's say we say that. Then if Shimon was to be makdish, his chelek, would that work or not? On one hand, amiraso legavoa kemisiraso lehadyot. Verbal commitment to hekdish is just like giving something over to a mundane transaction. On the other hand, maybe you could only make something hekdish if it's physically in your possession. So let's analyze. Tashma. So what's the Gemara Kosa Braisa? This dahahi, very, Vava on base 6b. What's a great case? Dahi masusa, dahava menatsi alua betre. There was a bathhouse that two people were fighting over. Reuven and Shimon were both claiming ownership over the bathhouse. Hi Amar Didihu. So Reuven said it's my bathhouse. The Hi Amar Didihu. Shimon said it's my bathhouse. Kam Chad Minayhu Akdisha. Reuven got up. Excuse me. And Reuven was Makdish. Reuven consecrated the bathhouse. Okay. So what happened? Par Shimon, Rabbi Chananya, Rabbi Oshia, Vekul Rabbanon. the rabbis stopped using the bathhouse. The rabbis said, now, what do you see from there? What do you see from there? The pashtus, what that sounds like, is that even though the bathhouse, let's say, again, Reuben and Shimon are arguing over it. Shimon decides, you know, to be makdishit. So even though the bathhouse, so to speak, was not in Shimon's possession, he was makdishit, and the rabbi stopped using it. Which sounds like you can be makdish something even if it's not in your physical possession. And more than that, even if the ownership of that object is contested. And Rav Oshe said to Rabba, listen, when you go to visit Rav Chista, right, go in Kafri. Kafri, Rashi says, Shem Makom, the name of a place. When you go to visit Rav Chista, ask him this question. Ask him about this case. When he came to Surah, only Rav Hamnuna said, Mas Nisim hi, this is a Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? Interesting case here. Safek Bechoros. Rav said, let's see, you have a case of a Safek Bechor. Right? Echad Bechor. So, Adam Ve'echad Bechor Behema. So, Rav says, remember again, if you have a firstborn male child, this Pidyon Aben, firstborn animal that goes to the Kohen. Let's say you have a Safek Bechor. Again, you're not sure if this kid is the child, is the peta rechem for his mother, is the firstborn of his mother or not, or this animal is it the firstborn of. So what do you do with it? So the Gemara says, bein tarim bein tameim. So whether we're talking about kosher animals, non-kosher animals, because remember again, I will say, so for example, the only non-kosher animal that has firstborn consecrated status, of course, is a donkey. It's a peta chamar. But again, so you're not sure, is this animal a bechor or not? Is this child the bechor or not? So what's the halacha? Hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. Okay, so we'll say this is very interesting. So what do we say? We say hamotzi mechaver alav haraya, the burden of proof is upon the extractor. Now, who's the extractor, right? Who's the mukhsak? Who's the extractor? Look at Rashi. Hamotzi mechavero. Kasak adayin tcha im biyad yisrahein. Havikoin mitzi mechavero alav haraya. Vim takfa koin. Bishasak yisra. Bahadar tzavach. Hav yisra hamotzi mechavero. So we'll say, so watch this. So we see like this. If the Yisrael ultimately against most of us, let's focus on animals right now, right? So we'll call him Yisrael, right? So Yisrael has an animal and he's not sure if it's a firstborn animal or not. Okay, so what does he do? So the Gemara says Hamotzi mechaver alav haraya, which means what? If the Yisrael has it, then halacha l'maisa, the burden of proof is upon the Kohen to prove that this is a firstborn animal. But let's say the Kohen sneaks in the middle of the night, grabs the animal for himself. He claims it's a bechor, it's mine. In that case, hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. The burden of proof is going to be on the Yisrael to show that it's not a firstborn animal. So essentially, whoever has it, he's considered to be the mukhsak, the one who owns it, and the one who extracts it, or the one who wants to extract it, has the burden of proof. Atani Allah, and yet we learned about this, asurim begiza va'avoda. Supposedly, here's what's interesting. That even though this animal, right, this firstborn animal is a safek bechor, it is nevertheless, you are not allowed to shear it and you're not allowed to work it. So Rabbi say, look at Rashi, asurim begiza v'avoda, misafek shemekot shimhei. It's very interesting. You're not allowed to work this animal or shear this animal out of a safek. Maybe it's consecrated. So Rabbi say, now watch this. V'tani, right, asurim begiza v'avoda. Ay, v'ha ha ha, damar tak v'koen, ein motzino sobiyado. So we'll say, one thing we just said before, that let's say the Kohen, Takfa Kohen, we'll say, by the way, just like Halich is another sugya that's like a major sugya with a lot to talk about, Takfa Kohen is also another major sugya, but again, I want to be consistent. I didn't do Halich justice, so I don't want Takfa Kohen to feel left out as well. We're just going to go with a simple understanding of Rashi. So therefore, again, in the case of Takfa Kohen, where the Kohen grabs the animal, right? So the Kohen went in, the Kohen took the suffix first part of it, took it for himself. Remember, we wouldn't extract it from the Kohen, because now that the Kohen took it, he is the mukhsak. What do you see? Even if the Kohen did not seize it, the animal is still asur. You're not allowed to shear it. And you're not allowed to go out and work it. Now, take a look at Rashi. V'chilo sakvu, chamor koach hekdish, so chamor koach hekdish, sorry, not chamor, chamor koach hekdish, v'osra begizavo, v'shmamina, v'imtim tzvara takfa emotzin, osom yado hekdish and mekudeshas. So watch this. So now, what do you see from here? You see from here that even if the Kohen did not seize the animal, so the Safik Bechor is in the Rishos of the Yisrael, Yet what? It's aser begiza va'avoda. You can't shear it and you can't go ahead and work it. What do you see from here? You see from here that you have the ability to be makdish something even if it's not in your possession. Because so to speak, it's in the Yisrael's possession, it's not in the Kohen's possession, yet despite that, the animal still has Kedusha. So Bo says, let's take this back. So remember, what did we say before? We said before, so Bo says, let's go back, two cases. Right? If you say that when Reuven goes ahead and pulls the object away from Shimon, if we give it back, if we pull it out of Reuven's hand and give 50% back to Shimon, so obviously Shimon can be makdish it, because Shimon's going to have possession. However, what's our shayla? Our shayla is, in the case of takfo in motzien also, in a case where Reuven pulled it out of Shimon's hands, and let's say we paskin that when you pull it out of someone's hands, we don't give it back to Shimon. Does Shimon still have the ability to be makdish it? That's our question. Does it have the ability to consecrate it even though it doesn't have physical possession? It appears, based on what we just learned, that the answer to that question should be yes. Why? Because in the case of Safek Bechor, even if the Yisrael retains it, so the Kohen didn't take it, right? The Yisrael retains it. So because the Yisrael has it, if the Kohen wants it, it's a motzi mechaver alav araya, but yet despite that, you're not allowed to shear it, you're not allowed to work it. What does that show you? That shows you that even something not in your possession, it's not in the possession of the Kohen, yet still it has Kiddusha. So we'll say, so the Pashas that would tell us that even in the case of Takfa in motzien also, even if we pass them and Reuven pulls the talis out of Shimon's hand, let's say we don't extract it from Reuven, but yet it would appear that Shimon still has the ability to be makdish it. Incredible. To which the Gemara says, no. Amrlei Rabba. Rabba says, absolutely not. Kedushas Bechar Ka'amrit. It's apples and oranges. This is Kedushas Bechar. To which the Gemara says, Kedushas Bechar Ka'amrit, the Olav Emolacha, Takfu Koin Motzien Osomiyado. Because it could very well be that in a general case, if a Kohen seizes something, right, we would take it back from the Kohen. Vafilu hachi, or in this case, even if the Kohen, let's say again, I'm the Yisrael, I have this animal that's a Safek Bechar. Kohen sneaks into my pen in the middle of the night and steals this animal. Takes the animal. I want to say steals. Takes the animal because he feels he's entitled to it. Even if we would say that the halacha is that we take it back from the Kohen and give it back to me, the animal is still going to be usher in giza va'avoda. Still going to be usher in shearing and in working. Why? The kedusha haba me'eleh ha'shayni. Rabbi said, this is incredible. Because the kedusha of Bechar is a different kind of kedusha. Kedusha of Bechar is an innate kedusha. An innate kedusha. In the world of kedusha, there are two different types of kedusha. There's conferred kedusha, right? You take a mundane item and you make it kadosh, you confer kedusha upon it. And then there's innate kedusha, right? Intrinsic kedusha. Bechar falls into the latter category, right? Bechar is innate kedusha. Sigmar is suggesting, or actually Rabbi is suggesting over here, that maybe the reason why we're going to be machmir with this animal, that even if the Yisrael is holding onto it, and even if the Kohen were to grab it, right, we would take it back from the Kohen and give back to the Yisrael, you still can't shear it, you still can't work it. Why? Because it's a safek about an innate kedusha, an inherent kedusha, kedusha me'aleh, an innate or inherent kedusha is more machmir than conferred kedusha. Fascinating halacha. So I'll take a look at Rashi. Rashi is the Olam Emelacha. Gabi Bechar Dafilu Takfa Koin Motzino Samiyado. Mistam Vecheskas Yisrael Hein. Maybe you'll say, even if the coin does seize this animal, we'll take it back from the coin, give back to the Yisrael. Or the Olam Akoin Kari Motz Mechabero. The time of the Gizem Avoda Lamishum Dehele Koin Shum Koach Behen. The Tiv Shom Yelehecha. The Takfa Emotzino Samiyado. Okay, so essentially, the Gemara thing is like this. One more time. So I'll just tell you Rashi outside. We're suggesting maybe we paskin takva kohen that if the kohen seizes this animal, no, you can't do that kohen. It's a safek bechar. You don't have a right in the safek bechar. We give it back to the Yisrael. Even so, this is a case of safek inherent kiddusha, what we call kiddusha me'eleha, inherent or intrinsic kiddusha. That kiddusha is treated with greater stringency, and therefore even al safek, you still can't shear the animal and you still can't work the animal. But I will say, but that would be different than our case in Amud Aleph. Because in our case, we're talking about conferred Kiddusha. Maybe when it comes to conferred Kiddusha, if it's not in your possession, you don't have the ability to create it. So the Gemara says, Amrlei, Rav Chanani l'Rabba. So Rav Chanani says to Rabba, Tain de Mesialech, there's a price that supports you. Hasfekos nechnasin l'dir l'his aser. So I'll say the halacha is, what if you have Safek animals? So we'll talk about this. We'll talk about this that let's say again, so Rashi actually points out that the Gemara in the next daf is going to clarify this case. Rabbi says essentially, Rashi says over here, "Sveikos the kamam mefarish besapik pidyon petach hamar the mafrish alav tala laf kuye isura." So Rabbi says it's an interesting case over here. So let's say again, we're talking about a situation where I have a suffik firstborn donkey. I want to redeem that donkey with a sheep. So now I redeem it with a sheep, but that sheep again is also suffik because you don't know was the donkey consecrated or not. So sveikos nichnasin ladir. Let's answer. So what do you do with this redemption animal with the sheep? You put it into the pen, and it becomes part of the calculation for your ma'aser b'hem, for your animal tithe. Versus one second. Now, if you would hold in general in a suffik case, a suffik kedusha case, then if the coin takes the animal, you don't extract it from him. So am I nichnasim the deer? Then how could I, the Yisrael, take this animal, which was used for the redemption of the suffik firstborn donkey, and put it in my pen for ma'aser b'hema? Nimsa ze poter mamona b'mamona shel koin. Both say it turns out that I'm exempting my obligation of ma'aser b'hema potentially with the animal of the koin. Abai says no. Imishum ha lo tisayi lanar. Don't actually bring up this case. That case is not helpful for you. Why? So Mar says hachabai askina. What's the case over here? Kigon de lesle elatisha v'hu. The case over here, both says, where you only have 9 animals, and the tenth animal is this sheep that was used to redeem the suffik peter chamar. So the Gemara says, the manashach, ibar chiyuv v'hir shapir. So we say manashach means what? In other words, either way, if the sheep that was used for the redemption of the suffik firstborn donkey, so if that sheep really belongs to me, then good. Then I have a chavar of 10, and then I can take my ma'aser b'hema. So the Gemara says, shapir kam aser, ilav bar chiyuv v'hu. But if halacha l'maaseh, again, that tithe animal, or I should say, That sheep that was used to redeem the suffik peter chamar, if ultimately again that animal is not subject to tithing, then ha tishahu, then ultimately all they have is 9 animals anyway, and 9 animals is not subject to the laws of tithing. Tishahu la bar isura ninhu. So we'll say ultimately again, therefore it's not subject to ma'aser. So we'll say we'll pause over here for now to just understand what we have over here. So let's say what we're trying to figure out over here is as follows. Just understand how we got here. The way we got here was, if you hold that when Reuben grabs it from Shimon, that we do not extract it back from Reuben to give it back from Shimon. If Shimon were to be makdish, what was his chelek, would that hekdish work? The Gemara wanted to suggest from the case of Takfa Kohen that ultimately, again, that if you hold, right, that halacha l'maaseh, so we wanted to say that from the case of Takfa Kohen, in the case of Takfa Kohen, even if the Kohen did not go ahead and seize it, it's still Asra Begiza Va'avoda, which shows you that you can be Makdish something that is in your Rishus, to which the Gemara essentially says that halacha l'maaseh, no, you're mixing apples and oranges. The question was asked in a case of conferred Kiddushah, and you're trying to bring a proof from a case of inherent or innate Kiddusha. And the Gemara is just suggesting those two cases of Kiddusha are really separate and distinct. So Rabbi Hanani said to Rabba, I have a brisa that supports you, At the end of the day, ultimately, again, it doesn't appear that brisa was as supportive ultimately again as we originally thought. Now, Abaye issued his understanding. Abaye is going to retract his understanding, but we'll save Abaye's retraction for tomorrow. But I just want to spend a minute, because I kind of left you off my thought over here. These two categories of Kiddusha are absolutely incredible. So there's conferred Kiddusha and there's innate Kiddusha. And the truth is, if you think about it, a Yid, the Jew, has these same very same levels of Kiddusha. On one hand, each of us has an innate Kiddusha, right? How do we start Shemona Esrei? Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. I am the child of the Avos and the Imos. I am the descendant of those who said Na'aseh V'Nishmat Har Sinai, which means that by definition, I have inherent Kiddusha. I have innate Kiddusha. Adam is made B'Tselem Elokim. Adam is made in the image of God, and therefore by definition, I have innate Kiddusha. But at the end of the day, in life, it's not just enough to go ahead and rely on your innate Kiddusha. You want to create conferred Kiddusha. Conferred Kiddusha comes about as a result of the dynamic activity you engage in. the positive decisions you make, the lifestyle choices you make, the things I choose to do, and the things I choose not to do. The challenge in life is that all too often we just were satisfied with our innate kedusha, right? Okay, I'm kaddish. I know that I'm kaddish. I'm innately kaddish, but that's not enough. That's not enough. Life is all about taking your innate kedusha and then building upon it by conferring upon yourself additional levels of kedusha. Every mitzvah, every chesed, every blat gemara, some way, somehow adds to my additional heightened levels of conferred kedusha. Celebrate the innate kedusha, but don't be satisfied with that. Every day, figure out how to confer additional kedusha upon yourself. All right, the Bosai, we'll stop over here for today. So I'm kind of leaving off. You'll see why tomorrow's life. I'm leaving off over here because although Abaye walks back that which he just said, it leads into the next sugya. Bosai Shkoyach, again, I miss all of you. It's just, as much as I love learning with you remotely, such a better feeling to learn it together in person. I'll see everybody Wednesday morning. Shkoyach, everyone, and have a great day.